who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. Afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now, what you have in some fields, and I've heard this especially true, I've heard this, Spurgeon said it's true in Ireland. I don't know, I've never been there. You have these places where there's a lot of rock amongst the field, and it's just too much to really rid the field of. But what happens, you still have these fields, there's a lot of a cultivatable ground, but then you have these rock ledges here and there, and what happens is in the storm and the wind and everything, dirt gets blown up onto these rocks, and it's wet, and it kind of stays there, and it forms a little layer of soil upon the rock. And if you put a seed in there, the seed will germinate. It'll start to grow. In fact, it'll spring up pretty quick because there's only one direction for it to go, and that's up. But it really has no roots. It can't reach the water table because as soon as it goes down, it runs into stone. It looks good on the surface, but inside it's just a heart of stone. And so it has no access for moisture. It can't draw water other than what might happen to fall on it or what it might be in the ground around it. And so if the sun comes up, if it's a dry several days and the sun comes up and it's hot, it scorches the plant, it dries up and it withers away and it dies and it looks awful. I think we have a picture of one of the, yeah, look at that stuff. Now a lot of people hear the good news of the gospel in a very shallow way. And frankly, a lot of times it's because it's preached in a very shallow way. And you hear a lot of authors and preachers that talk about all the good things God wants to do for you. God just wants to bless you, and all you have to do is this, and you use this method or this technique and this, that, and the other thing, and you'll have all this blessing. And so they have never really come to a place of repentance in their life. They've never been challenged by the true message of the gospel that Jesus said, you must be born again. They've never had that transformation, that change of mind, metanoe, that comes with repentance. Where they really come to the place where they say, I'm tired of that way. I'm tired of the sin. I'm tired of the darkness and the wickedness and the evil. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. And to hear the good news that when you do, Jesus comes into your heart and changes you, and you are born again. You are a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And he comes and regenerates you, and he puts his spirit in your heart and gives you power to live for him, and he gives you glory living inside of you. Paul said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me, changing me from the inside out, transforming glory. But they didn't hear that. They just heard, use this technique or that technique and life will be good. But they've never dealt with the issues of their heart. And so they get all excited and everything. They never really repented of their sin. They never called on Christ to save them. And so they go about their life and they keep making the same decisions, practicing the same behaviors, and they reap the same dysfunction. What in the world was that? Oh. What's that? He's agreeing with it. Praise God. The hounds of heaven, man. So they go through their life living the same way, making that, you know, with the same distorted perception of what life and God and truth is all about. They make the same decision. They fall in the same rut. They get the same results. They don't have any of the peace that was promised. They don't have any of the joy. And in the meantime, while they're doing all this stuff, their friends are looking at them like they're some kind of idiot for getting religious. People are persecuting them. Their life is still a mess. It's still falling apart at the seams. And they say, you know what? I don't need this religious stuff. I was having more fun in the bar when I used to go there. I'm, you know, the heck with this nonsense. I'm going to go back to my old life. I know. I did it dozens of times. When my life would get so dysfunctional, I was like, boy, I better, you know, get my act together. And I would get all religious experience of transformation by the power of God. I would last about 3 days. Next thing you know, I was like, boy, that was tough. And my friends would call me up and say, let's go party. I'd be like, I'm there. When can you pick me up? There was nowhere to draw from. I tried. They try to go down, but there's no root. There's no connection to the water table. And so when they try to dig down, all they come up with is the same old rock, the same old stone. And then the sun comes up and life gets a little bit hard. And after about 3 days, they wither and dry up and the wind blows them away. And it's tragic because God has so much more for them. Man, God wants to fill their life with glory, with victory. He wants them to taste the sweetness of victory, the abundance of life that Jesus died for us to have freely. And it's so tragic because they bought into a counterfeit and rejected what they think is the real thing. And the whole time, the truth, it wisdom screams, cries out in the streets, turn from your foolishness and live. It's sad. They flirted with that, but they've never actually laid a hold of it. All right, the third one. You got hard dirt, you got shallow dirt, you got crowded dirt. Like a mud pit at Woodstock. I never forget. I mean, I went to some bluegrass concert down in Annapolis once, and it was raining for all these days. They finally had the concert, and these guys, two guys that were drunk, got in a fight in the mud pit. It was hysterical. See a bunch of drunk guys trying to hit each other covered with mud. Ridiculous. Anyway, the crowded dirt. These are the ones sown among thorns. The ones who hear the word and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for what? Other things. Entering in and choke the word. It becomes unfruitful. So he's sowing it here. He's sowing it on the soil. But there's thorns and stuff that grow up. It says the thorns are there. They're not already grown. They're there. And as this tries to... And the thorns come along and they choke the word. And the word is trying to take root. It's trying to reach the water table and spring up and get some foliage and fruit. But the stuff is just choking it. It's just, it's got a hold of it. And it's just wrestling it around. So the life is literally stupid. And it can't live. It can't survive. So it just gets choked up and becomes unfruitful. Thank you, brother. This is epidemic in our culture because we got so much stuff. There is endless things to entertain us, endless things to take our attention and our money. I mean, you know, every day they're inventing more as if we didn't have enough. And what we have, it becomes obsolete in 6 months, and now it's no good because the new one that come out just made it obsolete, and now you can't even buy anything for the old one. You got to buy the new one because all the stuff that's coming out for it is for the new one. And it's an endless cycle. And it's a dangerous state of heart because it's actually idolatry. In America, man, we worship our stuff. We worship our stuff. And then we covet other people's stuff. Well, I love my stuff, but I'd love to have some of his too. And we always want more. It's never enough. And those are thorns, Jesus said. They choke the word. They suck the life out of your relationship with God. Hebrews 6:7. It's a dangerous situation. It says the land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and it produces a crop useful to those who, for whom it was farmed, receives the blessing of God. But the land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. That's serious. God takes idolatry very seriously. No man can serve two masters. You can only serve one God, either the things of this world or the one who made this world. Jesus said these thorns are made up of three things. Number one, the cares of the world. The cares of the world. You know what that's like in our rushing about society, the demands and responsibilities that pull on us, that demand our time, demand our that keep us running to and fro, back and forth endlessly, so that our life becomes just a blur of a merry-go-round to the point where we can't barely catch our breath. And sometimes where you actually have trouble breathing because you are so caught up in this tornado of activity that demands your attention, the cares of this world, so that there is no time to know God. The deceitfulness of riches, because we believe if we could just get a little bit more, we would be okay. But when we get it, that's not enough. We find that it's not sufficient, because oftentimes the things we need to do in order to earn a little bit more require a little bit more from us. And so it's never enough, and we need more, and then we need more, and then we need more, and we are endlessly chasing more, and then we find out through some emergency, stock market crash, some other thing, that we even lose what we thought we had. Riches wings and fly away. We're chasing after the wind, and there's no time for God. The desire for other things. It's not that we're hostile to God. We just want so much stuff that we spend all of our time either getting it or playing with it. You know, that's the problem with stuff. You got to use it when you get it. I played in a band, a keyboard band. Some of you guys remember it. I had one keyboard. My buddy had six. It looked weird because I'd be on this side of the stage, and he'd be on this side of the stage. But I had my keyboard inside and out. Boy, I can make that thing sing. He didn't have time to learn all of his because he just had too many of them. There wasn't time to learn all about that stuff. The more you have it all. I've had people say, you know, if you accept this deal, we'll send you 12 DVDs. I don't have time to watch 12 DVDs. I fall asleep when I put one in. Yeah, I mean, I'd never wake up. Oh, man. Proverbs 27:20 is one of the most profound verses in all of Scripture. Death and destruction are never satisfied, neither are the eyes of man. It's just never enough. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Thank you, Lord. You know, it's like Barbie. You guys remember Barbie? Does everybody remember Barbie? I grew up with two girls in the house. Yeah, even Heather remembers Barbie. Barbie, you know, they went, oh, I can't wait, Mom. It's Christmas is coming. I want a Barbie. It is a slippery slope. It is a dangerous place, man. You open that door, you enter the land of no return. That is Pandora's box, man. I want a Barbie. Yeah. What she doesn't tell you is that once you get a Barbie, then you also need all Barbie's friends. Redneck Barbie. Zombie Barbie. Morticia and Gomez Barbie, Star Trek Barbie, Tattoo Barbie. They even had one eating disorder Barbie, but the Holy Spirit said, no, don't even go there. So you got Barbie, you got to have all of Barbie's friends. Then you got to have all of Barbie's stuff, all her accessories. Barbie's car, Barbie's house, Barbie's pooper scooper, Barbie's electric chair, Barbie's endless collection of shoes to add to your own endless collection of shoes, Barbie's clothes. And Barbie doesn't shop at the consignment shop, you know. Barbie shops on Fifth Avenue, buddy. You pay a premium for that little pair of pants. You pay more for that pair of pants than I pay for my own pair of pants. And then all of Barbie's friends got to have stuff. Zombie Barbie's got to have something to wear. It may be a little ragged, but she needs duds too, you know. Redneck Barbie, I don't even want to go there. And so you open the door to this Pandora's box. Next thing you know, you got Barbie stuff all over the place, and you always step on it in bare feet. You ever notice that? Barbie's spike-heeled shoes laying in the carpet, spike up. You know, at 5:30 in the morning, you know, you're stumbling to the bathroom. Ay-yay! Dogs are choking on it, you know, the kids are playing, the little babies got it in their mouth, it's always showing up. You know, and just like real life, there's only one of the pair of shoes. You know, you can never find both of them. Barbie has, you know, 25 different color shoes and no matching set. Now, don't laugh, because every one of you guys has Barbies. It may not be Mattel Barbie, but you know what I'm talking about. You know what your Barbie is. Joe, you know what your Barbie is, brother. And it's a slippery slope, man. Even Chris, I can't imagine. Even I have my Barbies, okay? Yeah. They don't look like that. Except I really like electric chair Barbie. That looks like fun. I wonder if they come in a set, zombie Barbie and electric chair Barbie. You know, you fry her brains and then you bring her back to life. I don't know. Okay. I told that girl at Ox, you just never know what I'm going to say in church. But we all have our Barbies, because you think it's going to be one, you think it's going to be this, but then you find out, well, as long as you have that, you might as well have this. And as long as you got this, you might as well have the other thing. And it's just never enough. Now, please don't get me wrong. It is not wrong to have things. Man, God has graciously, beautifully in life that have enriched my life, that have given me pleasure. In fact, the Bible says God gives us richly all things to enjoy. What comes from God is a blessing, and He adds no pain to it. He adds no curse with it. But that's the key. It comes out of a relationship with God and receiving from His hand rather than trying to force His hand and go demand and grab onto things and grab hold of things that God has not given us by His grace. And it always brings misery.